Yeah. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the message this morning that reminds us, Father God, what the focus and praise should be all about you, Father, not about us, not about anything else, Father. And thank you for the wisdom that we will receive today from your word, Father, and for the teaching that we receive, Lord. For those of us who don't know a lot about the gift of tongues, Father God, we're glad for the revelation that we will hear today. And once again, we give you all the praise. So bless this message and all those here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. If you guys don't know anything about the gift of tongues, or if you do know anything about the gift of tongues, I'm pretty sure you guys are going to learn something today. Amen? We will all learn something today, so praise the Lord for that. Amen? Sermon title is To Edify or Prophesy? That is the question. All right? That is the question. We're going to be talking about the gift of tongues today and about spiritual gifts in general. Amen? There was a couple who had been chatting online for weeks, finally met on their first date. Here they are, okay? After an expensive meal in an upscale restaurant, the lady plucked a daisy from the flower arrangement on the table, and she was pulling the petals off one by one, right? Repeating to herself, "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not," right? You know how they do that, right? Then in a dreamy voice, she said to her date, must have been, "He loves me," right? "Tell me something that will make my heart race," she said to her date. Amen? "Tell me something that will make my heart race." And he replied, "I forgot my wallet." You said it'll make your heart race, right? Amen? But that is not love. Amen? That is not love, and that is definitely not agape love. Okay? And, you know, we've been talking about agape love for some time now. That's not love, okay? Our first verse says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." Remember at the end of last week's chapter, Paul said that these three things remain, right? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen, right? Love. So, of course, he's going to begin the next chapter by saying, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit." We should all be eagerly desiring the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? As believers, okay? All of this to say that the main thing that drives the Christian life, okay, is the same thing that governs God's kingdom. And that thing is love, right? God's church is all about love. Amen? And so should we be, okay? As children of God, we should pursue love, and we should exhort love, but we should also desire the gifts of the Spirit, okay? Desire the gifts of the Spirit. But you see, the Corinthian believers, they had made a mistake to put their desire for the gifts above their desire for love, okay? They thought the gifts were more important, and that will always lead to issues in the edification of the church. Amen? We're going to talk more about edification here, and actually throughout the whole message today. After all, Jesus did say that the second greatest commandment is what? To love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen? So it's very important, right? I don't think anyone has ever said, "You know what? I think that Christian is way too loving to be in this church." Right? No, we're supposed to be all about love. Amen? And then at the end of the first verse, speaking of gifts, he says, "Especially prophecy." Right? Especially prophecy. Back in chapter 12, when Paul was listing all the gifts of the Spirit, right? Prophecy and tongues weren't anything special in that list, amen? They weren't at the top of the list. They weren't all in caps, amen? They were just some of the gifts of the Spirit, okay? All gifts of the Spirit are important, amen? They're all from God, a gift to us from God, amen? But now in chapter 14, we're going to see how important these two gifts are. Amen? And the meaning and the reasons for these gifts as well. And of course, they should function, how they should function in the church, because that's most important. Amen? We can have the gift, but we need to know how to use it as well, right? We need to know how to use it. God's word instructs us on how to use it. Amen? And at this in the Corinthian church, we're going to see how this is there was an overemphasis of tongues, okay? And an underemphasis of prophecy, okay? And we're going to break down what each one of those things means as far as edification as well. When Paul says especially prophecy, what does he mean exactly, right? Well, if we fast forward to today, okay, we're going to see that many Christians today believe that God has stopped giving these special miraculous gifts of the Spirit. Amen, but that's not true. Amen. But a lot of people believe that, okay? And when Paul and the apostles died, they say that these gifts died with them. Amen. It's just not true, okay? Other people like me believe that God still gives out. I'm sure a lot of us, right? That God still gives out special gifts. Amen. He gives all gifts to his children. Amen. Miraculous gifts that he chooses to people in the church. But the ones that believe these gifts are no longer given, look at the gift of prophecy as maybe just some inspired preaching or teaching. Amen? They don't see the gift of prophecy as a gift of the Spirit, okay? But that would, of course, be wrong as well, okay? Because it is. Prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. Preaching, okay? Even good preaching is not prophecy. Amen? There may be some prophetic parts in the sermon, right? But the sermon itself is not prophecy. Amen. Prophecy is declaring what God has revealed about someone else's heart. Amen. That's a prophecy, right? And that's exactly what Paul was saying, that we should seek to be vessels of the Word of God. All of us, amen, as believers, should seek that, to deliver his message to others, his perfect message, okay? That's a prophecy, amen, to deliver God's message. Verse 2 says, "For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to people, but they speak to God," right? Tongues is speaking to God, amen? It says, "Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." All positive things, amen? Paul is going to start to compare these two gifts, okay? The first difference is, who are you speaking to, right? Verse 2 says that anyone who speaks in tongues isn't speaking to men, they're speaking to God. Right? It's God's language, and they're speaking to God. Amen? It's a very important point to see when a person is speaking in tongues that they're not talking to you. They're not talking to men. Amen? They are talking to God. Now, men may hear them, right? And men may even interpret what they're saying so you can understand, right? But the words that are being said to God. Just like our prayers are to God. Amen? They're being said to God, okay? Now, if we disregard this verse, then we'll totally misunderstand the gift, okay? And we'll start to abuse it. Because you may even start to think that the gift is a supernatural way for Christians to talk to each other, which is untrue as well. Amen? A gift of the tongue is not for people to talk back and forth. You're not going to see two Christians speaking in tongues to each other. If you do, they're just perpetrating, okay? They're just faking it, amen? That's not how it works, okay? And if we don't understand this point, then we'll miss the whole point, okay? In Acts chapter 2, I'll give you an example, okay? Many people think that in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were given that gift of tongues, amen, and the crowd heard them, many people think that the disciples were speaking to the crowd. Amen? But they weren't talking to the crowd. They were talking to God. Amen? The crowd heard them and understood them in their language, but that language was going to God. Amen? The language of tongues that they were speaking, they were speaking to God. Amen? And then, and I'll show you in Acts 2:11, it says, the people that heard said, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." They're declaring the wonders of God. And in Acts 10:46, it says, "For they heard them speaking in tongues, and what? They were praising God." They were praising God. Amen? This is to show that from the beginning, if a person is really speaking in tongues, they're speaking to God. Okay? They are speaking to God. Now, another way to confirm that it's a real speaking of the tongues is through the interpreter. Okay? Through the interpreter. Because if the interpreter says the message is to anyone other than God, it's not true. Amen? It's not true. He may not even be a real interpreter. Okay? If he says, oh, God said for me to tell you that, that everything's going to be okay, don't worry, you know, he's going to take care of things. Right? That's not an interpretation of the tongues, okay, of the gift of tongues. If the interpreter says the message is to anyone but God, he's lying, okay? The interpretation of tongues is going to be addressed to God, okay? And I'll explain more of that as we get farther into the message, but why we need to hear what the interpreter says, amen? Some people even think that the gift of tongues is just the ability to speak in another language. Right? And it kind of is, but it's God's language and God gives us the words to say. Amen? It's not something that we create on our own. Some people even think that a missionary could use that gift of another language of tongues at another country. Right? That he's learning that language because he's in a different country. And they could use the language in another country, okay, but only to speak to God. Amen? Not to speak to the people. It's to speak to God regardless of where you are. Verse 2 says, remember, anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to people but to God. And if we misunderstand this, we will abuse this gift by trying to draw attention to ourselves rather than God. Amen? And therein lies the problem. Amen? With people who aren't truly speaking in tongues. They may be trying to draw attention to themselves. Now, I can tell you, I don't have the gift of tongues. Amen? I got other gifts, okay? I got other gifts that God gave me. But if I did have the gift of tongues, you probably wouldn't hear it much from me because it would be something that I'm saying to God, not to you guys. Amen? The gift of tongues is speaking to God. And yes, a lot of people do it while praying, which is the perfect time, right? Because when we're praying, what are we doing? We're speaking to God, right? Amen? It's a perfect time, but it can be disruptive too. Okay? It can be disruptive if it's done during a church service or at the wrong time. Amen? We don't want to be a disruption, okay? And it is really unnecessary because God even knows our thoughts. We don't have to scream it out loud for God to hear us. Amen? God can hear our thoughts. He can read our minds. Amen? It should never be looked down upon in the church, though. If someone's speaking in tongues, it's okay. All right? It's a gift from God. Okay? It is a gift from God. Even Paul spoke in tongues. In fact, we're going to see that later on in this text that Paul speaks in tongues more than anybody. Right? Than everyone he was speaking to, everyone in that church, Paul spoke in tongues more than all of them. But he will also say that he would rather say 5 intelligible words than to instruct others with 10,000 words that nobody could understand, right? Which would be tongues, because we can't understand it, right? He would rather say 5 words that somebody can understand than 10,000 you can't. Because remember, speaking in tongues is not speaking to people, it's speaking to God, okay? He goes on to say that in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. When the tongue speaker cannot be understood, it doesn't mean that they're speaking nonsense, right? Or gibberish, some people may say, right? No. Paul said it might sound like a mystery, but, you know, besides, you would still need an interpreter to understand it anyways. Amen? And what you'll hear, of course, will be a mystery, so don't be surprised, okay? But the instructions are right here in God's Word. Amen? Read your Bible. These are the instructions for life in the Spirit. Amen? And this will tell you all about this gift, okay? Amen? But we must also remember that there will always be fakes out there. Okay? Fakes that are trying to prove something to somebody that don't really have the gift in the first place. Okay? And I think I told you guys a story before of a lady who came up one time and said, are you the pastor of the church? And I said, yes. And she said, do you speak tongues? Do your leaders in the church, do you guys speak tongues in this church? And I said, well, I don't have the gift of tongues, but there are some people that speak tongues in this church. And she said, well, if everyone's not speaking tongues, then this isn't the church for me. And she turned around and left. Amen? Because there are some churches, believe me, that if you don't speak the gift of tongues, they don't believe that you're truly saved. Amen. It's just not true. Some think that you got to be baptized to be saved too. These things are a profession and a gift. Amen. There's only one thing you need to do to be saved. Believe in your heart and profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. Amen. Everything else is a bonus, okay? Amen. That's all you need. What about the man, the thief on the cross? Amen. What about him, right? He didn't have to get baptized, right? He didn't have to speak in tongues. Amen. So I say, read your Bible, respect your gifts, and trust your God, okay? Because if you truly have that gift, you're going to know it, and you're going to know when to use it. Amen? God will tell you. You'll know. Verse 3, he goes on, says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Right? That's what prophecy is for. To give you strength, encourage you, and comfort you. Okay? Remember, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. Okay? But when you prophesy, you're speaking to men. You're speaking to men, okay? God already knows everything, so we don't need to prophesy to him. Amen? God already knows, right? In verse 3, it also says that we prophesy for the people, strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So it's not just towards men, but what? It's for their own good. It's for the good of men. It's to help the church, to edify the church, to build up the church. If someone keeps prophesying that things are all bad and destruction's coming and you need to repent, that's not true prophecy. Amen. It may be a warning, but true prophecy, what did Paul say? It strengthens you, it encourages you, and it comforts you. Amen. Remember, we have to read our instructions, our Bibles. Paul said that prophecy is for what? Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. It is to edify. To edify. I'll tell you what that means here in a minute. The sermon title says, right, to edify or prophesy. Okay? Now, does anyone know the meaning of edification? Anybody want to guess? Or did I already say it?
Building up.
Building up, right? The strengthening or building up, right? With love. There's a key right there. Amen? With love. Edification, though, is a construction term. Actually, the original edification was a construction term, and it meant to build someone up or to strengthen them. Amen. And as Christians, how do we do that? In love. Amen. In love. Just like you said, Ron, in love. We will see this word edify quite a few times in the rest of the chapter. And so a word of prophecy is meant to edify or build someone up, not to tear them down. Amen. To edify and build them up. Now, encouragement, okay, which is part of that, right, is like a coach or a parent saying, you worked hard, you practice often, now go do what you got to do. You can do it. You can do it, right? That's encouragement, okay? Amen. Shut up, Brock. Okay. And then comfort. Comfort, okay, means not just to cry with somebody, but to put your arms around them. Amen. Put your arms around them and give them hope. Give them strength. Amen. To get through whatever they're going through. Amen. Tongues speak to God and prophecies speak to men. Tongues edify the person speaking to God and prophecies edify the church. Verse 4. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. There it is. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you, Paul said, to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. But I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Paul is saying that the one who speaks in tongues is just edifying himself. He's building himself up, which there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. We all need to be built up. Amen. But that's edifying yourself. Those who believe in the gift of tongues and those who believe that it's no longer present in the body today are wrong. Amen. They are wrong. And Paul's criticizing. He's saying, you thoughtless critics, you are only out to edify yourselves. Amen. When you should be using it to edify others. And that's just wrong. That's what some people believe. It's simply a fact that those who are speaking in tongues are only out to edify themselves. Remember, Paul said it is a gift for self-edification. In other words, the gift of tongues is for your own personal relationship with God. But it's prophecy that edifies the church. A true prophecy is going to build up everybody in the church. Amen? It'll build up the church. So Paul would say in verse 5 that he wishes they all spoke in tongues. Because he was positive about the gift of tongues. Remember, he spoke tongues more than everyone, right? He was positive about it. He knew how important the gift of prophecy was as well, though. Amen? He knew how important it was for the church. He would even say that he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. Now, why would he or even the church as a whole think that way, right? Because remember, the gift of tongues, in the gift of tongues, you only edify yourself, right? You only edify yourself, but with the gift of prophecy, you edify the church as a whole. Now you see, it's not wrong to edify yourself. We all have to do that, okay? But remember what our Lord said, right? It's always better to give than to receive, right? It's always better to give than to receive. The last thing he says in this long verse is so that the church may be edified. On earth as it is in heaven. Amen? We need to build up the church. Paul's whole message here is about what they should be doing to strengthen the church and please God. Please God with the gifts he's given us, okay? And Paul would never teach the church to serve the church or even approach God in a way that's disturbing, okay, or annoying or self-exalting. When we're on our own, in our prayer closet or wherever you're at, amen, we can praise God in any way we see fit. We can scream and yell. We can whisper. We can pray in our hearts. However you want to do it, amen. Our goal should never be, I'm sorry, but when we're around others in worship, we got to be respectful of other people, amen. We got to be respectful of others. We have to realize if we're being an unnecessary distraction. Okay? Our goal should never be to take the focus off of Jesus. Our goal should be giving Jesus all the glory. Amen? Not to bring attention to ourselves. You know, there are even going to be times when people don't yet realize that they are distracting people. Amen? Sometimes you might not even realize it. So, as your brother and sister in Christ, we're going to let you know. You're being a distraction. Okay? Now, I'll probably get one of the doorkeepers to let you know, right? Because I'm going to be a little busy maybe, you know? But there are going to be times when people don't realize it, okay? We have to realize, though, as believers, and we have to practice humility, amen? Practice humility and reverence to God. I talk about that in the church all the time, right? We need to be reverent to God's church and to God's service. Right? Be respectful to the other people. Don't be a disturbance, right? And we're going to talk more about that. There are even going to be times when people don't realize it, okay? So we got to know that. So now we know the gift of prophecy is better for church life, okay? And the gift of tongues is better for our personal relationship. But it was never about which was better or worse, okay? It's all about the context and it's all about the timing, right? To edify the church, or to edify ourselves, okay? There's a time and a place for it, okay? And we got to know when that time and place is. Verse 6 says, "Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring some revelation, knowledge, or prophecy, or word of instruction?" Paul, of course, realized that the gift of tongues was of value to him personally, but it was not valuable for him to speak to others that couldn't understand what he was saying. What value is that? Amen? And therefore, he would not be edified. People would not be edified in the least. So instead, Paul would speak by revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or instruction. And he does that through what? Through what? Prophecy, exactly. Paul does these by these four terms, okay? Prophecy has four terms, okay? Number one, revelation, okay? Paul was speaking of his own awareness that he was uniquely inspired as an apostle and a writer of God's holy word. These apostles and writers of God's word had so much inspiration, it makes you wonder if they were aware early on that they were writing words inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, these were amazing men. You know, Paul acted like he knew, right? By his apostolic authority and, of course, the Word of God. And you know what? I believe that kind of revelation that they needed to write like that, to write the canon, amen, is no longer available today. Amen? That's why God's Word is complete. Amen? God's Word is, the canon is complete. God's Word is complete. God's Word says in Revelation not to add to it or take from it. It is done. It is written. It is done. Amen? And, you know, I believe that kind of real revelation, it died with the apostles, okay? Nobody today could write letters to the church in the way that the writers of the Bible did. Amen? But then again, remember, if it's God's will, it will be done, right? They were inspired by God Himself to write those words. And the second, thanks to the knowledge of these writers, God's Word is complete, okay? The book of Revelation, like I said, does do not add or take away from God's Word, amen? The knowledge of these writers made God's Word complete, a gift from God, okay? Number three, prophecy. Prophesy. These speak of God's thought and God's words being communicated to us by the Holy Spirit to edify others. That's prophecy, to build up His church. Amen? And lastly, by word of instruction, or from the Word of God itself. And what is the Word of God never does? It never changes. Amen? God's Word never changes. Verse 7, he goes on, he says, even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or the harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? I like this part because we get into some music, okay? Again, he says, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air, he says. All right? Paul says that in the case of lifeless things like musical instruments, how will anyone know what is being played unless it sounds like a song? Nobody wants to hear a song that's offbeat or that sounds horrible, right? We're going to listen to good music, amen? Good worship music, right? Instruments have to be played a certain way to present a nice beat or a good melody, amen? They got to be played a certain way, okay? And it has to be that way to be received. Sounds will come from the instrument, but they won't always be good or even understood. Amen? And he mentions the trumpet as well, that the trumpet would call soldiers to battle. Okay? And of course, the drums would lead people into battle as well, right? But they'd have to be a good sound, right? It'd have to be on time, something that people want to hear. I mean, even those trumpet players in the Civil War, I'm sure they were on time, right? They had a good song that they were leading them into battle with, right? Amen? Same for the drums, okay? The drums would lead many people into battle, but they would have to be playing a good beat, right? Nobody wants to hear a... Right? They want to hear a... Right? You want to hear a good beat, amen? You want to be on time. It might feel good, okay, for a child to just start banging on drums, right? It might sound good to the child, but it's going to be annoying to us, right? It's going to be disturbing for us to hear this kid just beating on the drums any way he wants, right? And Pastor Robert's going to have a heart attack. What's he doing to my drum set, right? But it's going to be annoying, okay? That's the point. Now, the comparison is that when we're communicating to God with the gift of tongues, it may be a great thing for us, like the child beating on the drums, right? But for everybody else, it might be annoying, right? We got to be considerate of others in the church. We got to be considerate of others in the body, okay? And so in the church setting, the point is, don't be an unnecessary distraction. Okay? Even if you're doing it for the right reasons, don't be an unnecessary distraction to others. He says in verse 9, you'll just be speaking into the air, right? Because nobody, if you're speaking in tongues in church, Nobody knows what you're saying. You know, and if you say it louder, guess what? They still don't know what you're saying. Amen? But you're being a disruption, okay? When you speak in tongues in the middle of a church service, it benefits no one else. It would just be noise in the air, Paul said. Okay? And if anyone does speak in tongues here at Amazing Grace, I want to thank you for being polite in service and keeping it down. Amen? Because you're speaking to God. God doesn't need to hear you. God can hear your. God can read your mind and hear you and read your heart. Amen? He can hear you. Okay, little funny cartoon I got here. Just because the preacher's from Alabama doesn't mean he's speaking in tongues. Just because you can't understand him doesn't mean he's speaking in tongues. Amen? Not in church, not in service. Don't be a distraction, okay? That's the point. Verse 10, undoubtedly there are all sorts of languages in the world, okay? Yet none of them is without meaning, okay? Everybody's language means something to them, okay? If then I do not grasp the meaning of what somebody's saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. I learned this the hard way when I go to Mexico with my wife, right? Because I can't really speak Spanish at all because my wife won't teach me. No, it's because I'm not teachable, actually. It's because I'm not teachable. If I was teachable, I'd have learned a long time ago. But anyways, at least in my language, in Spanish, okay. But, you know, it's difficult, right, to go around in another country when you don't know the language. If you've ever done that and been through that, you know what I'm talking about, right? Bob, you know many times over, right? But, you know, they have these new things out, translators that you can put on your ear. Okay, I don't know how much they cost, but I got to get me one of these. But you put it on each person's ear, and when they talk, they can hear the translation, right? So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there. I thought that was pretty amazing. But languages are amazing, okay? This is the point. And the fact that they are a gift from God makes them even more amazing because all languages are a gift from God. Amen? I'm going to tell you why right now. Evolutionists can't even explain how languages came to be, okay? Languages are very complex, okay? Like beyond our comprehension to create something like that. Most professional non-Christian linguists can't explain it, okay? Other than, well, you know what they do? They call it? They call it an evolutionary experience. It just happened, right? Just like everything just, the Big Bang just happened, right? Okay? In fact, language is so complex, nobody can explain it other than to say what? That it was created by God. And that'd be the right answer. Amen? It was created by God, and you know, and for me, that's the right answer. Okay? That explains it. Okay? It was created by God. If all languages then were created by God, then guess what? He understands all those languages. Right? He understands all of them. It's amazing how some people know multiple languages, right? And most of them that do are very intelligent. So if you're bilingual or trilingual or whatever, congratulations, amen? And the one, at least the ones I know are very intelligent, okay? That was for you, honey. Okay, all right. She said whatever. God understands all languages, including tongues. And if we're speaking in tongues, we may not even know what we're saying. Okay? But God knows. Okay? You might not even know what you're saying, but God knows. It is His creation. All languages, all dialects belong to God, were created by God. Okay? Verse 12, he says, so it is with you. Since you're eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. At every church meeting, okay, and every church event, the goal should be mutual edification, all right? Building each other up in God's word, okay? Building each other up. So if someone's speaking in tongues at church, they should have an interpreter. So the church knows what they're speaking, amen? So it'll build us up because the tongue in itself is not going to edify anyone but the one speaking it, amen? It's not going to edify anyone else. that can't understand it. And so some may say, if the tongue cannot edify, then how does the interpretation edify? Okay? Well, the prayers of the righteous avail much. Okay? And that's what it's about. That's what interpretation's about. It's about hearing the prayer so that it may edify you as well, regardless of who it's about. Amen? I'll give you an example. Look at the Psalms, right? We read all these prayers from David so that they can lift us up as a church, to edify us. Amen? They're his prayers. Amen? But they lift us up, right? The Psalms lift us up and edify the church. When we can relate to another person's prayers to God, it helps to relieve our spiritual burdens as well. Amen? It builds us up. And then in verse 13 it says that the one that speaks in a tongue should pray that they can interpret their own tongues. Like the example is, if God was to speak a message in tongues to your heart about others, then you could just interpret it, okay, in a regular language so that other people, the church, could understand. Sort of like translating God's special language, okay? That would be two amazing gifts working together, right? The gift of tongues and the translation, right? To edify the church. Praise God if that happens. Amen? Praise God. Whatever is better to edify the church. Then in verse 14, he points out that if he prays in a tongue, it is his spirit that's praying to God. And the rest of that verse is just saying that in using tongues, our regular understanding and our regular communication is surpassed. It's a surpassing language. Amen? Like, we want more, right? We want more. God gives us the gift of tongues, okay? Now, this bypassing of our understanding by anything is not something everybody wants to do. Some people are content, okay? And they're not praying for the gift of tongues, and that's okay. God never said we have to speak in tongues, okay? Or even pray for it, because you can pray for the gift too. Amen? But God doesn't say you have to. If you have a special gift, any spiritual gift, you should appreciate it and you should exercise it. Amen? It may not be the gift of tongues, but whatever gift God gives you in the Spirit, exercise it. Appreciate it and exercise it. Use it. Amen? To edify the church, to build the church. Most people will not feel a need to go beyond personal understanding and prayer, and that's okay. You don't have to seek the gift of tongues to prove anything to anybody. You still have your relationship. You still have your faith. As long as you're seeking first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, that's all you need. Amen? You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. Amen? And so at this point in our message, you may be asking, well, how does speaking in tongues really work? How do I know when to speak in tongues? How do I know if I got that gift? Amen? I'll tell you three ways you don't know, okay? These are things people actually believe, okay? Number one, it doesn't just happen when you open your mouth and let God speak. It's not just going to happen like that, okay? Number two, it doesn't happen after you wiggle your tongue. Some people say if you wiggle your tongue and you're like trying to start it up, start the motor up, right? And then God will start speaking through you. Amen? And number three, it doesn't happen as you read a phrase faster and faster and faster until it sounds like gibberish. That's not how it works. Amen? You cannot take a class, okay, this is the point, or study on how to speak in tongues. And they actually have these classes and people that try to teach you how to speak in tongues. You cannot even, you can't train to learn this gift. Amen? Because it's a gift from God. It's a gift of the Spirit, okay? And so how is it that we speak in a language that we haven't learned? Right? How do you do that? Well, the gift of tongues works like a language that we already know. Okay? That's how it works. We just feel that God is prompting us to say something or speak at His will, right? Or by His will, okay? Trusting that He understands what we're saying. If you know, you know. If you've received the gift, you know, and you'll speak it, and hopefully you'll speak it in the right settings. Amen? And also know, it's a free will gift. You don't have to receive it. Amen. You don't have to receive it. The Spirit's not going to say, you better take this gift and use it. Right? Our relationship with God and our faith is all about free will. We choose what we want to do. God gives us that free will gift to choose to follow Him, to choose to receive what He has for you. Right? The Spirit's not going to make you speak it. But your heart, if it's in the right place with God, will lead you to it. Amen? It'll lead you to it, and it'll tell you when is the right time to use it. God's gift. Amen? When to use it and where to use it. Verse 15, the rest of our verses goes on. So what shall I do, Paul says? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you're praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer or a seeker say amen to your thanksgiving since they don't know what you're saying? You are given thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God, he says, that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, he says, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words than to instruct others with 10,000 words of the tongue. Amen? He knows what was necessary to edify the church. Paul would gladly proclaim that he would pray with his spirit and pray with understanding, and he would sing. Apparently he was a singer, okay, worshiper, right? He would sing with the spirit and sing with understanding, okay? And me, I'll play the drums in the spirit and play the drums with understanding. Amen? Amen. Paul used his gift of tongues often, and he used it in prayer, and yes, he used it in singing too, Bob. All right? Amen? Yes, the worship team has the gift of tongues through their music. All right? Because we're worshiping God. Amen? So I guess I do have the gift. All right? I didn't know, but now I know. Amen? When Paul was with God's people, wherever they were, he would not be a disturbance, okay? He said he would rather say 5 words than 10,000 words nobody could understand, okay? 5 words to edify than 10,000 words nobody could understand. Paul's use of tongues was a big part of his private devotional life. And if you have the gift, it should be a big part of yours too. Amen? But he would also say that we can sing in the Spirit. Okay? We could sing in the Spirit. God can give us the gift of tongues in a melodic way. Okay, Bob? Got it? All right. Bianca, you got it? All right. Happy birthday, girl. So I guess I do have the gift of tongues through the music. Praise the Lord. But then again, if we're going to use that gift when we're around other people, don't use it to draw attention to yourself. Amen? How many times have you seen Pastor Robert at night of worship do a drum solo? None. Zero. Because I'm not trying to bring the attention on me. I'm giving God all the glory through my drumming. Amen? It's not about me. It's about Him. And that's what we should believe, okay? The big difference, I believe, between secular music and worship music is that in worship music, all the glory goes to God. Amen? But in secular, in the world, you know, everybody's, oh, I'm a rock star, you know, I'm on an album cover, magazine cover, it's all about me, 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 I'm a millionaire, I'm riding around in limousines. No, in worship music, I mean, you might become a famous worship music musician. You know where most of the successful worship bands, leaders and singers came from? From the church, right? They were serving in church. And somebody liked, some producer liked their song. You know, Casting Crowns, the singer from Casting Crowns. He was a youth leader, and he was a pastor when he got called to be in Casting Crowns. Amen? And now, you know, he doesn't have time to be a pastor. He's been called to do this, and that's what he does. Amen? Now, there's a lot of worship bands out there, successful ones, they were never even looking to be successful. They were only trying to give God the glory. Amen? But what better way to give God the glory than to do it on a national stage? right, on a world stage, right? So praise the Lord for that, right? But that's not why they do it, okay? That is not what worship music should always be about. The one who saves should always be about God, okay? Which can actually be a gift of tongues that we can all take part in, right? We do that every Sunday right here, right? When we worship the Lord, it sounds like a whole band, a whole choir of people. Everybody, almost everybody sings along. Amen? So praise the Lord for that. We're worshiping here. We're all in it, right? But remember, don't draw attention to yourself, okay, by singing in the wrong key on purpose, right? Right? Or maybe singing louder than everybody else, especially if you're out of key, right? Don't draw the attention to yourself, okay? Draw the attention to the Lord. That's what it should be about, okay? In verse 16, he says, otherwise, when you're praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else, an inquirer, means like a seeker, somebody new to the faith, say amen to your worship if they don't know what you're singing? Right? How can they say amen if they don't know? And sometimes we can even get too much praise. Okay? And I'll tell you what I mean by that. It reminds me of a reverend friend of mine that always says when someone else is preaching, that's right. Say you're right. That's right. And it's kind of cool for a little while, right? But after a while, it gets to be like to be too much. Amen? It gets to be too much. And, you know, and I love him, but, you know, it shouldn't be about us. Should be about God. Don't be a distraction. That's the point. Amen? Worship the Lord and let's give Him all the glory. Don't be a distraction to that. We should never be trying to draw attention to ourselves during worship. That's why we call it worship. Not to worship us, to worship Him. Amen? Amen. It's all about the Lord. And when it's all about the Lord, just like the great officer Alonzo Harris once said, we can't lose. Amen? That's an inside joke for you guys. Okay. You Denzel Washington fans, that's an inside joke for you. We can't lose. Amen? Brothers and sisters, use the gifts God gave you in the way He intended for you to use them. Amen? To edify His church. Okay? To build up His church. To give us strength and encouragement. Right? Faithfulness, to build each other up. Amen? We're the body of Christ. We're the church. Amen? Think of others, right? Put others first in your life. Build them up. Be the leader God wants you to be. Be the worshiper God wants you to be. And give Him all the praise. Let's give Him all the praise right now. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. And let us pray. Thank you, Father, for every gift. Thank you for this message. Thank you for every opportunity you give us, Lord, to lift others up, to build others up, to edify your church, to use the gifts you've given us for the reasons you've given us, Lord, to build up your church on earth as it is in heaven, to give others hope, to bring peace and light into a world that's full of pain and darkness. Father, help us to be the example. Give us the gifts we need to lead others to you. Father, may everything we do give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.